my favorite Christmas carol.
Wonderful singing of the story of our Lord's birth. Well, we are glad you are here today. It's not by chance you are here, as Chaplain Jay always says. So we know that God brought you here for a purpose. And so let's look to him as he speaks to us from his word. Well, in the early 19th century, a war-weary world was anxiously waiting the march of Napoleon. In 1809, between the battles of Trafalgar and Waterloo, William E. Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Alfred Lord Tennyson in Somersby, England. Oliver Wendell Holmes in Boston. Felix Mendelssohn in Hamburg, Germany. And of course, Abraham Lincoln in Hodgenville, Kentucky. Now, 207 years later, is there the slightest doubt about the greater contribution to history, those babies or those battles? Well, of course, those babies made a greater contribution to history, not the battles. Well, so it was with the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bethlehem crowd was all concerned about a census and the power of Rome. They had no inkling that the infinite Son of God was asleep in their little town. Only a few shepherds hurried to see him who was born in a stable. And as they left, they glorified God. You see, we can also get caught up in the commercial business of this season, that we overlook, listen carefully, how great a gift this little babe really was. How great a gift this babe of Bethlehem really was. Well, this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you today at this special hour in your life. And also in my life. So please, I urge you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more important with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is so eager and enthused today
to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to change genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the sanctifier of the church, and to convict unregenerate, unrepentant sinners among us here today more of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine faith and personal faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, who is the seeker of lost sinners and the savior of the world. So here's my message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly ask you to pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, willing to embrace it and express it in your life. Are you ready for that? Well, here is the message in a nutshell. The greatest of all the gifts God has given to change the eternal destiny of lost and sinful humanity is the Christ child, Jesus. To say it simply, God's most excellent gift to a dying world is the life-giving Savior at the first Christmas. No wonder Paul, who describes himself as one untimely born, the least of all the apostles, who is not fit to be called an apostle, jubilantly and joyfully declares, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to gloriously and glowingly shine its bright light on the historic moment, a holy moment, when the Christ child, the greatest of all God's gift to you and to me, was presented to the Lord at the first Christmas. Often this holy and historic event is ignored or overlooked in the telling of the Christmas story. But oh, how special and significant this is to understanding the Christ child's immeasurable value and contribution to the human race. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21 to 24. Will you please listen carefully today as I recite this passage from the New American Standard Bible? The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, actually Luke, Dr. Luke, is the only gospel writer who wrote to us about the presentation of the Lord Jesus at the first Christmas to the Lord. This story was only written by Dr. Luke. And so this is the only place we can learn what the Lord wants us to hear today. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called" what? "Holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." This is the word of God to the people of God.
May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. At least three different ceremonies are described in our gospel story here. These three different ceremonies took place in two different locations, which were significant in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please notice, I'll get us right into the message. Please notice that the account of the holy and historic moment when the Christ child, the greatest of all God's gifts to mankind, was presented or dedicated to the Lord begins with a ceremony the Bible is unashamed and unapologetic to speak about. And what is that ceremony? It is the practice of circumcising the Christ child. The practice of circumcising the Christ child. And the Bible says, and when 8 days were completed before his circumcision. Literally this reads, and when he was 8 days, so as to circumcise him, that is how the story begins. You see, just as the Bible does not shy away from speaking about the horrific crucifixion of Christ, so also it does not shy away from speaking about Christ's humble submission to the practice of circumcision. The circumcision ceremony was an important event to the family of a Jewish baby boy. This is because Yahweh himself specifically commanded circumcision on the 8th day when he was beginning to form his holy nation called Israel. Furthermore, Yahweh reaffirmed this command throughout the history of Israel. If you look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, this command for circumcision was laid down by God himself. So it is important for the Jewish people. The ceremony of circumcision was a time of joy when friends and family would celebrate the baby's becoming part of God's covenant nation. That's what happened when a baby is circumcised. He becomes what? Part of God's covenant nation. You see, the practice of circumcising a Jewish baby boy on the 8th day of his life was a symbol of his inclusion among God's chosen and covenant people, that is, the descendants of Abraham through whom? Through Isaac and Jacob. That is the line of the Messiah. The ceremony of circumcision is essential because it admits the circumcised baby boy into covenant with Yahweh. It also symbolized the Jewish people's separation from the Gentiles and their unique relationship with Yahweh, the true God of the Bible. In fact, so sacred, listen carefully, so sacred is the practice of circumcising a male child on the 8th day that it could be carried out on a Sabbath when the law forbade almost every other act, which was not absolutely essential. In fact, the Lord Jesus will use that once against his enemies who were talking about him healing on a Sabbath. And he told them in John chapter 7 verse 22 and 23 that if you circumcise someone on the Sabbath, why should I not heal on the Sabbath, being the Lord of the Sabbath? And so this practice is so sacred to the Jewish people. Actually, the circumcision ceremony has so much to teach us about Mary and Joseph, as well as about the Christ child. But you say, what else can we learn from this circumcision ceremony? Well, let me just share three with you. First of all, the Christ child was circumcised in Bethlehem. Well, you say, even Bethlehem was not even mentioned in this passage. Why are you saying that he was
circumcised in Bethlehem. Well, remember, Mary could not go to the temple when Jesus was 8 days old. She could only go after 40 days for her purification were completed. So many times people jump to the wrong conclusion. Well, I just even heard someone two Sundays ago saying that Jesus was circumcised in the temple. It's never true. Yes, the temple is his father's house, but he was not circumcised in the temple. He was circumcised in Bethlehem. Second, it teaches us that life for Joseph and Mary was all about practicing the truth. It was about following in the ways of God. It was about focusing on doing first things first. You see, they knew the first thing to be done for the Christ child was to do what? Was for him to be circumcised. As such, they willingly complied with the law of circumcision for their firstborn son. They knew that practicing the truth was important to God, and therefore it must be important to them as well. So the question is, what about you and what about me? Is practicing the truth important to you as it is to God? You see, the Christmas story is not just about talking the talk, but rather walking the walk. God himself, listen carefully, God himself did not just talk the talk of sending us his son, his only begotten son, but he walked the walk of sending us the savior of the world that we desperately need in the Christ child at the first Christmas. So that is critical. Well, third, the circumcision ceremony reveals the true identity of the Christ child. And what is that identity? He is the what? The God-man. Amen. It clearly and convincingly affirms that the baby Christ was God in human flesh, like you and me. When the eternal Son of God was born in a lowly stable in Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread, he came as one of us. Just like Kitty in her opening prayer said, Jesus came like one of us. I couldn't believe it when I had prayed that, because I just knew God was confirming the message to me. He came as one of us and lived the perfect life none of us could live. So this simple yet profound truth must never be lost on us. Jesus came as God in our likeness. The Son of God, listen carefully, became man so that he might make us sons of God. How wonderful is that? Well, according to Jewish custom, on the same day of being circumcised, the child was also named. So two things happen on the day of circumcision. You are circumcised, and then you are given your name. That's not how we do it. That is why the Bible now carefully and concisely reveals to us the personal name of the Christ child. The Bible says in the last part of verse 21, his name was then called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Every Jewish baby boy was circumcised and named on the eighth day. And that is exactly how it happened in the life of the Christ child at the first Christmas. As noted earlier, life for Joseph and Mary was all about following in the ways of God. It was all about focusing on doing first things first. Well, we see that again in the naming of the Christ child. They obeyed the Lord in naming the Christ child Jesus. You see, it was God's idea to name Christ Jesus. Like a father, Almighty God wanted to name his only beloved and begotten Son. As such, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and specifically directed her to call the holy offspring, who will be conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus. So that was the first messenger to Mary. But there was another messenger to Joseph. After Mary conceived the Christ child, we are told that Joseph, her husband, planned to send her away secretly, because he didn't want to disgrace her. But before Joseph could act on his plan, an angel of the Lord, we are not told his name, appeared to him in a dream, instructing him not to go through with his plan. He was told to follow God's plan, which included taking Mary as his wife and then naming the child Jesus. So two times God sent messengers to Joseph and Mary to call the son he was giving them, Jesus. So you can see that Joseph and Mary were not disobedient to the heavenly vision of calling the Christ child Jesus. The name Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Yeshua in Hebrew, which we call Joshua. And it means what? Savior. It means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. Now the important question for us to consider is, why was the Christ child called Jesus? Well, the answer, Almighty God chose a name to teach sinners like you and me the most important lesson we could ever learn in this life. And what is that most important lesson? It is that Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. You see, our Heavenly Father carefully thought about what he wanted to name his one and only beloved and begotten Son. And the message, listen carefully, the message he intended for the name to convey to lost and sinful humanity. It's as if Almighty God wanted to be absolutely certain that none of us missed that point. That is, Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. So the name Jesus reveals his mission on this planet. And what is that mission? It is to save sinners like you and like me. So the question to you today is, has Jesus saved you? Remember what the mission has. The sign. The mission sign says what? Jesus saves. Please, let's all say that. Jesus saves. Remember, you cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. Good works will not save you. Good behavior will not save you. Giving to charity will not save you. Only Jesus can save you and me. Oh, how precious is the name Jesus. It's so sweet. It's so special. It's so simple. Yes, it's so significant because it reveals to us the only sure and true way of salvation. And indeed, it's the all-sufficient name you and I need. If you don't know anything else in this life, but you understand the name Jesus and hold on to that name and its purpose for your life, you'll be saved, and also you'll be prepared for eternity with Jesus. Well, after humbly submitting himself to the practice of circumcision and the custom of naming a child, the Bible vividly portrays for us the Christ child's submission to the purification ceremony. And the Bible says, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed. According to God's law, recorded in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3 to 4, following the birth of a son, the mother had to wait 40 days before going to the temple to offer sacrifices for her purification. In other words, a woman who bore a son was ceremonially, not spiritually, but ceremonially unclean for 40 days. For a male child, if it was a girl, for 80 days. And don't ask me why God made that distinction, because I can't tell you why. Well, the woman could go about her household and her daily business, but she could not enter the temple. So it is clear that the purification ceremony, which required 40 days to complete, took place also in Bethlehem. So those are the two places, the two ceremonies took place in Bethlehem, the circumcision and the purification. So what the Bible is revealing to us about Mary and Joseph is exactly what we saw at the beginning of this story. And that is, life for Joseph and Mary was all about following in the ways of God. It was all about faithfulness to God, who has been faithful to them all throughout their years. It was all about focusing on doing first things first. Sadly, for some people today, life is about following the money trail. You know people like that, and I know people like that. For others, life is about following or chasing after power, prestige, popularity, pleasure. Still for others, life is about satisfying their selfish passions through substance abuse and other sinful and self-serving pleasures. My friend, what is your life about? What are people saying your life is about today? When your life had run its course on earth, what will people say about what your life was all about? Will they say your life, listen carefully, was all about following in the ways of God? Or would they sadly say that your life was all about following your own way? You are Mr. My Own Way. You are Madam My Own Way. Is that how your life will be described? Well, the first two ceremonies spoken of in verses 21 and 22 prepared the way for the third ceremony to be carried out for the Christ child at the first Christmas. And that is the presentation of the Christ child to the Lord. And the Bible says they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called what? Holy to the Lord. Well, Joseph and Mary didn't drag their feet. They didn't delay. They didn't dilly-dally. As soon as the 40 days for their purification ended, they wasted no time at all in presenting the Christ child to the Lord in the temple. Now, quickly, notice that there are four specific things revealed to us about the presentation of Christ at the first Christmas. First is the place of the presentation. The presentation took place in one of the courts of the temple in Jerusalem. That is why the Bible specifically says they brought him up to Jerusalem. You see, one always goes up to Jerusalem because it is situated or built on a mountain. And it will be almost 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Second is the person to whom the Christ child was presented. The Bible specifically says to present him to the Lord. They didn't present him to the high priest in the temple. They presented him to the Lord. Now, the Greek verb translated to present also means to bring into God's presence, to offer or to dedicate or to yield, and better still, to put at one's disposal. So what the Bible is teaching us here is that Joseph and Mary offered, dedicated, brought into the Lord's presence, or put the Christ child at the disposal of the Lord and Heavenly Father. It's as if Joseph and Mary are saying, Lord, we willingly and wholeheartedly put the promised Messiah at your disposal to fulfill all that you intend to fulfill through his life. What faith Joseph and Mary had. Well, third is the prescription for the presentation. Please notice that the Bible says that the written direction for the presentation ceremony is found in what was written or said in the law of the Lord. That is why the Bible said to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord, and then later on to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. Now the point here is that the presentation of the Christ child was to the Lord, and it was based on what the Lord himself prescribed in his word. So Joseph and Mary were not following their own, they were not leaning on their own puny little understanding. They were following what was written, what was said in the law of the Lord. In other words, Joseph and Mary were committed, listen carefully, to doing things God's way. Many times we do things our way, but that doesn't honor God. It's only when we do things his way that he's honored, and we have a win-win situation. We bring a big smile on his face, and we get blessed. That is the way Mary and Joseph did it. Later, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 39, that the family of Jesus performed everything according to the law of the Lord. What about us? Have you performed everything according to the word of God today? Well, the fourth truth revealed to us about the presentation is its purpose. The Bible clearly and concisely reveals to us the purpose of the presentation in these words. It says, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So the phrase holy to the Lord is the key. I tell you, friends, this was a holy and hallowed moment at the first Christmas. You say, why is it a holy and hallowed moment? Here is the Holy Son of God, the Holy One of God, who himself is the embodiment of holiness, was presented to the Holy Father for the sole purpose of being set apart or consecrated to be holy to the Lord. It was a sight beheld by the holy angels watching at the throne of God in silent awe and adoration. Jesus, the greatest of all God's gifts to us, was wholly presented, consecrated to the holy God. Well, the Christmas story, as recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 24, ends on a very tender and touching note. This is because it reveals to us the poverty of the parents of the Christ child. But you ask, how do you know they were poor? Well, their poverty is revealed in the sacrifice they offered. The Bible tells us a pair of what? Turtle doves or two young pigeons. Ordinary parents were supposed to bring what? A lamb for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. But in the case of the poor, they were permitted to bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So Joseph and Mary could not afford a sacrificial lamb at that time when Jesus was born. They were not among the well-to-do who could afford a lamb. And all they could offer at this point was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. In fact, the offering of a pair of what? Turtle doves or two young pigeons was technically called the offering of the poor. Whenever you bring that, they know that you are a poor man or a poor woman. So their offering therefore reflects the poverty into which Christ was born. And this is so mind-boggling to me. Why? The one who is appointed heir of all things, the one through whom all things came into being, the one by whom all things were created, the one for whom all things were created, and the one in whom all things hold together, the one in whom all things are summed up, things in the heavens and things here on earth, the one who could say, who alone could say, all things that a father has are mine. Yet, he was born into a poor family. Perhaps this helped Jesus to identify with the poor of the land. So how does this Christmas story apply to us today? Well, if you are already a genuine born-again believer, this is how it applies to you. First of all, it reminds us afresh that practicing the truth is important to God and it must be important to you. Second, it reaffirms the importance of putting our lives willingly and wholeheartedly at our Heavenly Father's disposal. One thing you can do today to bring a big smile to the face of God is this. You can say to God, Lord, I willingly and wholeheartedly put my life at your disposal to fulfill what you want to fulfill in my life. That was my prayer all this week. This is what I want for others to pray for me. For me to be willingly and wholeheartedly putting my life at the disposal of the Lord to accomplish His purpose in and through me. Well, third, it reassures us that poverty cannot stand in the way of faithfully serving God. Joseph and Mary were poor, but that did not prevent them from faithfully serving the Lord their God. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, come to Him today. Call on His name today and cast whatever care you have upon Him today. But don't forget this. As you do so, tell Him, Lord, I willingly and wholeheartedly put my life at your disposal for you to accomplish your purpose in my life. Now, if you are not a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is how this Christmas story applies to you. Please listen, in your state of unbelief, you cannot put your life at the disposal of the Lord. Why? Your life is full of sin. Your life is full of rebellion. What is awaiting you is the wrath of God and the righteous judgment of God. And the destiny of being cast out into the lake of fire, where the Bible tells us there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not just for 2 months or 2 years, but for all eternity. But all that can change for you today, because God loves you and does not want you to perish in your sin. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So today, admit to Jesus that you are indeed a sinner. Acknowledge to Jesus today that you cannot possibly save yourself by being good or doing good. And accept Jesus' free and full offer of forgiveness on the basis of His death on the cross, His burial to put away your sins, and His resurrection from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved and set apart for His purposes, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come. So the ball is now in your court. Please respond to Jesus. If you are a believer and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, you can come here
and do that. And if you have any burdens on your heart that you need us to pray for, please come forward. We will be willing to pray for you here. Then if you are not a believer, this is where you come. And I will meet you here and pray with you.